We need to talk about your balls.
Are they smooth or covered in bits of annoying fluff?
These are my balls. See how they glisten in the light? Your balls can be like these, but you gotta use the right tools for the job. This? No. This? No! This!
Only if that's what you're into.
Balls are delicate, sensitive, easy to damage.
Someone's taken a chunk out of that one.
That's why I use the Lawnmower 4.0. It's got skin-safe technology with a replaceable ceramic blade.
So you can trim.
With confidence. It's got an LED light, so you can always see what you're doing. Lights, please! And what's more, it's got a wireless charging system and it's waterproof. You can even drop it in your pint.
You wouldn't want to drink it, though. It's got pubes in it.
The Manscaped Lawnmower is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. That's over 4 million balls.
Isn't it time you joined them and used the right tools for the job? Because when it comes to balls, you don't want to muck about.
Go to manscaped.com and check out the all-new Lawnmower 4.0.
Using the code TRIM4TIMS, that's TRIM, the number 4TIMS, at checkout when they go to manscaped.com. It's been getting them 20% off and free shipping. Hello there and welcome to another episode of 4TIMS in a podcast. You join us on Monday the 20th of September. It's about just over 24 hours since Celtic's latest league game. It was another horror show in West Lothian that seen Celtic lose 1-0 to Livingston. It's their third defeat out of six in the league. And Danny, we'll get straight into it. It was, as we came to expect, when Celtic go to the Tony Macaroni Arena. It's just been a really tough place for Celtic to go, but it's quite a disappointment considering the sort of positivity around this team. I know we were at Callum McGregor, guys like Kyogo were still missing, but what was your thoughts on the game yesterday?
We were awful yesterday, really, really poor. I know that a lot's been made about Andrew's record so far as Celtic manager and stuff, but for me, that was the first time that we actually stunk the place out. And we were really, really bad. It's the worst performance since he took over. And it just happened to be at a place where we've notoriously threw in poor performances over the last couple of years. Fought until the goal. We were in control of the game. And not that we were playing great, but we were in control of the game until Livingston scored. And then what I thought at the time watching the game was 10 minutes of like mayhem. Everybody in green and white just lost the plot. For 10 minutes, actually carried on for the rest of the game, and we didn't look like scoring at any point. Really, after Livingston scored, we didn't look like responding. In fact, if it wasn't for Joe Hart, it could have been done 3-0. So, probably the first time I've watched Celtic under Ange and thought, this is really, really bad, because in the other games that we've lost, there's been flashes, and at least in the other games that we've got beat, there's been signs and bit of creativity and probably a chance to think, I'm an experienced team, or next year they're the kind of games Angie's team will win. Obviously, before people start, that is a results-driven business, and we need to win the games this year, never mind next year. But yesterday was the first time I thought the team were really, really poor. You're struggling to think any player that played well or made an impact. It was just a horrible day at the office, and I think probably maybe a wee bit blown out of proportion because of where it happened at Livingston, whereas if maybe we played maybe Aberdeen like that, or something, so obviously people would be upset, but I think people are just fed up with no winning at Livingston, and who can blame them? It's a horrible place to go. I think that's the last Celtic away day I had was Livingston, when they got beat 2-0 a couple of years ago, which you got me a ticket for, Dan, so thanks very much for that. But just a horrible afternoon, and a chance that what happened at the other game, you know, doesn't make it any better for us. Obviously, we still lost the game, but just kind of, I don't think there's going to be many weeks they drop points at home, so it's one of the weeks you'd be looking to take advantage of it, and unfortunately, yesterday, we weren't able to.
No, definitely. I think you're quite right about in terms of players that made an impact. You quite rightly picked out Joe Hart there. I think with him, you're completely right. He made two really, really good saves that on another day would have went in, and as you say, it could have been a much more embarrassing result much more embarrassing scoreline even. But like Andy, I'll come to you. The highlights, the talking points behind before the game, when the team lineup was announced, was James McCarthy was brought in, and out of nowhere, I think it was Danny that said last week that he thought he'd never see Bolly Ballingolly again. He was brought in from the cold and given his first start of the season. What went wrong, Andy, in the game yesterday? Was it a case of just Celtic not being at the office, or was there anything you identified that you thought maybe went wrong that's not been mentioned so far?
I thought it looked a bit as disjointed as I've seen us since obviously Ange came in and stuff, the style of play changed and things like that. I think there was a lot, I mean, I know there's been a lot made up, which came out about McCarthy, and if somebody's talking to the media and all this shit, then okay, but I thought he was poor, but regardless of anything, it's obviously come out, he was out with COVID, and there's been obviously issues surrounding the fact that he's not been really been up to fit and full fitness for a while now. So I thought, I wasn't going to really, and he's not the type of player he's not the McGregor type that's going to go box to box, quick 1-2s and score your goals or anything like that. So I wasn't expecting much from him. And I thought he really did have an half game. And it probably, if anything, for me, answered a lot of people were crying out for him to get put on in Betis. And I made the point to use that that's just not the sub that we needed either. And that, I think that showed that for him. But that's not on him. Like, he's got a long way to go to be fully fit again and obviously play that role. But I thought across the team, we looked really, really disjointed. There was just a lot of... I spoke a lot about how we played with so much purpose and we were always probing, but it wasn't the same as, say, like, sort of in times gone by where it was just a lot of nothing passes, a lot of extra passes, safe passes. There was none of that sort of cutting edge that you'd seen face so often. And listen, you're going to have bad games. I'm similar to Danny's thoughts here. I think it's maybe been blown out of proportion a bit because of who it was against and where it was. And we've notoriously found it difficult to go there, to play there. But I think at the same time, you're going to have bad games. So we're struggling with a lot of injuries. You could argue the European hangovers maybe played a part, which, listen, you never want to give them excuses, but it's the first time I've felt like this season, so I'm not really hitting a panic button or anything. I think it's probably just mere disappointing, if you like, because they dropped points, so it seems like maybe a missed opportunity. I don't think we should be panicking. But again, it's just shown a lot for what we said after the transfer window, that Celtic didn't come out of that transfer window the way they should have come out of it. We still needed a lot of position strengthened, and similar to Betis, we paid for that on the park. We paid for the result after the game, and we came away with less points than we should have done in both games. And that's the long and short of it here. I don't know, people are just dead quick, and it's similar to what sort of the thoughts I had after Betis. It's, Ange should have done this, Ange should have done that. Like, if you look at his substitutions in Spain and today, they don't make good reading, but that's not his fault. Like, he's not been given the tools to do the job properly. The bench in both of the games is nothing short of a disgrace, because we never recruited well, we never recruited properly. You're losing a game and he's had to turn to Sorrow, a defensive midfielder, and beat on. I don't even know what the fuck he is anymore, just some cunt that gets paid a wage to pretend he's a football player, but originally a defensive midfielder come centre-half. Like, two of them was your subs, and then, again, Mikey Johnston, a young boy who's been out injured for fucking forever. And I wasn't expecting too much from him, like, because he's just back from injury, long time out, shocking away pitch. Like, it's just not the three subs that you need. But he didn't have any other options, and I thought that rung true in Spain as well. People are shouting about subs. But if you've not got the subs and you don't really trust who's on your bench, why the fuck would you? It's a bit damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know, and I think that's played a part. But long shot he done, I'm not hitting the panic button or anything. It was really disappointing, more so because they dropped points. But it's done now. We've just got to brush ourselves down and go on with it.
Aye, definitely. As you say, nothing's going to change the outcome of the result yesterday. But, I mean, I know there was a bit of a... Twitter was quite heated yesterday after the game, but I don't think anybody's really, I think it's sort of mixed in terms of, I don't think anybody's really turning on Ange. I think people realise he's been dealt a shit hand, but at the same time, you can't, as Danny said, it's a results-driven business, and of
course, must follow different people then, Dylan, because I've seen hundreds of folk starting to turn on Ange.
Well, Danny, I'm coming to you then now. What's the, in terms of turning on, what do you mean by that? What have you seen? Like, because I've seen people who, I believe, are, like, it's a mix, because I put it on the board for leaving Ange with this sort of squad to deal with, but at the same time, Ange is committed to his style of play, and I completely respect that, but is it just a case that he's not get the squad to have a plan B, and or is simply plan B just trying to do plan A better?
I don't know. I don't know about that. I think I said on here last week about the Betis game. Was it a Betis game? About maybe when you go 2-0 up, you've got to have a kind of plan B, or at least the players should have a collective, like, take responsibility and show up shop for 10 minutes instead of just all this gung-ho stuff. But then, at the same time, is the team equipped to play, like, defensive football? I mean, I think they could be. I mean, Carter Vickers and Starfield probably love getting the ball fired into the box constantly and having to go deal with it. But obviously it's a results-driven business. Ange's under pressure for the very first moment he walked in. He wasn't the first choice for the job. There's a very high chance he wasn't even second or third choice. He knew that going in. The fans knew that. And he's been dealt a shite horn. The squad's far too short for what he's trying to do. And, you know, there was a rush on Twitter yesterday of folk. Serious questions need to be asked to this manager. He's a dud. It's not going to work out. The league's done. And you just think, fuck, who needs enemies? And, you know, there seems to be this, I'm not in this cult who just blindly back a manager all the time. I'm asking questions of the manager, and you think, well, have a bit of fucking perspective. I mean, we had a bit in the chat yesterday, and you said things that you darn it said, or results like that, people were after Lennon, but as I said in the chat, there's a Lennon, Ange doesn't treat the fans with utter contempt, you know, and he deserves, you know, we're in September, the guy deserves, to me, he deserves to at least January to try and build a team and get the team right in January. Obviously, if things start going totally fucking under, then of course questions will need to be asked and you'll need to start thinking, are they going to pull the plug? But to me, as I say, it was the first really bad defeat yesterday. The other ones, all games could have went either way. So a bit of perspective, and you know, people want a rebuild. They want a rebuild, and you spent all summer getting caught up in this Ange ball, and you know, which is a fucking pathetic term anyway. And people, you know, but now it's getting used against folk. Celtic fans are using it against other Celtic fans, and it's just, it's as if, you know, people just, they want a rebuild, but they don't want the shite that comes with it. And unfortunately, there's going to be a lot more results like yesterday this season, because the team is completely threadbare. I mean, take Callum McGregor out of the team and we're a fucking shambles. And the same with Kyogo, a player that nobody had heard of 3 months ago, but now you take him out of our team and we just look bereft of any creativity, of any spark. And yet you're asking this guy who is still, you know, fans will get on side when you're winning 6-0 and all that, but after a couple of defeats you get that Aquila always called him a dud. I knew he was a dud. Is Ange totally blameless? Of course he's not. He's the manager. He deserves scrutiny like everybody else, but he's been dealt a shit horn. His CEO, who apparently picked him, has fucked off. And the only people enjoying this heightened scrutiny of Postecoglou are the board, who they're loving the fact that there's fans on there, because it takes away all focus of them shortchanging him in the summer, selling two of his better players towards the end of the window, and then nothing about replacing them, leaving us short in midfield and everything else. And they'll be loving this. They'll be loving this, that the fans have conveniently forgot about that and have resorted to lines as such as, ah, well, any team we should put out should be good enough to beat Livingston. which is, you know, is probably fair, but at the end of the day, the focus is the board have left, they've dealt this guy a shitty horn. It's 2014 all over again, and some people have nearly learned from their mistakes.
Aye, like I say, I'm nowhere near worrying about Ange as manager. Like, when I was, as you say, we were speaking off air yesterday, I was worried in terms of, like, how the league is, because I think that mob across the city are basically on their knees and just asking to be, to have the title taken away from them, and I just feel like that's where my frustration's coming in. As you say, I fully have it on the board. I think they've dealt with me absolute shit, and then the person they brought in to, like, look like he'd appointed him has been sort of forced out or resigned, whatever, like, whatever way you want to look at it. But Tony, I know you're waiting here. It's been, we've not had you on the last two episodes, but you've finished hanging about with Alan Thompson and Brian McClair, and you're back with us. What's your thoughts on this weekend and just in general about Celtic, you know?
I've not been on for a couple of episodes. In that time, Dominic Mackay has left due to personal reasons, which we all know is a lot of shite. I don't know, I've got a lot of kind of different thoughts. I mean, the manager's not blameless, but when you look at that bench yesterday, I think I said it on Twitter, it should see people just fucking outside the stadium protesting daily. It's a disgrace what he's been left with. We saw Edward and Christie in the last day. Two players of real quality. One in Christie, who was really fit in Postecoglou's style, and they've not really replaced him. With an injury or two injuries, you would say our two best players. And we're really struggling. We were shite against Ross County and then managed to get over the line. Real Betis going forward at times was excellent. Defensively was a symbolic. And yesterday, and this is probably the biggest insult possible, it was like watching a Neil Lennon team. And that is a major insult to anybody. I thought yesterday was hopeless. Lackluster, boring. I know everybody's saying it was an opportunity miss, but I think the other side will be saying that more than us. I think we're quite lucky it's only four and no fucking six or nine or whatever. If they've not turned up yet either. That's a really worrying thing for me. Rangers have not started this season at all well, and we're unable to put them under any pressure. Reminds me of kind of one of the starts we made under Rodgers. We were garbage, but Rangers were just worse, and we won the title. And they're starting to feel like that every game is kind of drop points. It's obviously always like that, but I just feel as though we're one more bad result away, and if you go six or seven behind, you really are struggling. So, I mean, I still have complete faith in the manager, but I don't have faith in the board. I don't have any faith in these people. I can't stand them. I hate them with every part of my being. I think they've pushed Dominic Mackay out the door, this idea that he wasn't doing his job right. Of course the club are going to phone podcasts and say that. Fucking of course. They're not going to turn around and go, look, we've got a board full of dinosaurs and this guy wanted to implement new ideas, so we fucked him out the door. They're going to phone up and say, Dominic Mackay didn't really get it, or it wasn't working out, and blah, blah, blah. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe a word they say. I think something's went far wrong there. Seeing Thursday, I kind of started thinking, no, Postecoglou should have changed it. And I thought at 2-0, he should have brought James McCarthy on. If he'd have done that, we'd have beat 8-2 or fucking 8-3. Because he's miles off it. He's nowhere near it. And I know there was a lot of people that weren't happy when we signed him in a 4-year deal. But I don't want to write the guy off. What happened yesterday is no James McCarthy's fault. I know he had COVID and he's still trying to get up to speed. But yesterday it was shambolic. It was one pass I can remember him trying, and it just went right out of play, and it really summed up the game. Stephen Welsh, that's just no good enough. Can he lose your man? And then that's it. All these teams need is something to hold on to, and we gave them it. And to be fair, they weren't exactly climbing on for dear life. We were fucking abysmal. Couldn't create anything. We missed McGregor, but we missed
Tony.
Kyogo.
What? Do you not think we played into Livy's hands, just throwing the ball into the box?
I just think we were shite. I think we would have played into any team's hands. I just thought, I can't even mind us going through. Like, one, did see the kind of fast one-touch football? Don't get me wrong, that pitch is a just a disgrace to football. But we knew that. You need to combat these things. I mean, surely we could still link up and play the 1-2, try and get in behind in the wings. We've done it a few times, but nowhere near enough. And we didn't create anywhere near enough. I just think we've now got loads of pressure on us, and it's all the board's fault. If the board had really backed the manager, for example, we don't have a left, we never signed a left back. Liam Scales is a centre half. He's a fucking centre half. And Paul Ngoli's had to play, who's no kicked a ball for over a year for us. It's just, I don't know. I don't blame Dominic Mackay if he's walked away. I don't blame him if he's been sacked, and fair fucks to him as well. And if I'm Postecoglou, I'd probably get fed up as well. We've all seen that when we've got a proper team and we Christy, Kyogo, Edward, McGregor, we can play some like good flowing football. So the managers obviously get some really good ideas, but I mean, you guys bringing on Beaton to try and change games. And I mean, our bench yesterday was mad. Mikey Johnston, miles off it. He's not really kicked on the way you would have liked. I know he's been injured for a long period, but is he going to be a starter for us? Don't know so much. Ayeti, he's done well the last couple of games. He's got his 3 goals, but it's not a patch on Kyogo or Edward even. So I don't know. I feel as though the certain rang, obviously. The away form's abysmal. It's not good enough. The manager knows that. We know that. He should be beating Hearts and Livy. But we've made the Rhine right to turn up and beat anybody with the squad we've got. Rangers game, quite unlucky, you know, to take something for that. But no, I feel as though I think some fans are obviously saying that's it, he's a new Ronnie Dyler, he's this or that. I think I'm not really buying into that. I think I'm quite happy to give the guy time. I mean, you look at when we've had big rebuilds in the past, we get lucky whereby Martin O'Neill was an absolute genius for us, and he turned it around so quickly. He done brilliant. Stratton took a bit of time, but he turned it around in one season. Rodgers again started superbly and he turned the screw and we done brilliant. Lennon came in and fucking dismantled the thing. So I think it'll not be long before people say, oh, look what you said about Lennon, he's only going after Ange. Neil Lennon inherited a squad of absolute winners who had done nothing but win and turned them into a shower of shite that finished 25 points behind. So just to clear that up before people start hitting us with that one. So I think the manager needs another window at least, regardless of what happens now. But again, it's easy to say that. You give him time. If he loses to Race Rovers on Thursday, then or Wednesday, whenever it is, the big fucking panic button's getting hit. Or if they don't beat Dundee United. So it's a shame, really, because Rangers definitely haven't started well. The ball's the Champions League. I've seen Lyon beat them quite comfortably. Drawn at home to Motherwell. I think they'd won. I think they were going for a record of kind of home wins up to that. I don't think they were convincing in a few of the other games. So I think the league is there to be won, but we don't have the squad. If we can somehow get to January and we're no any more than 6 behind, we will have a fighting chance. I genuinely believe that. But I just feel for the manager. I think he probably wants
to see. Tony, you're talking about January there, Tony. See our next 5 league games. It's Dundee United at Celtic Park, Aberdeen away, Motherwell away, St Johnstone at Celtic Park, and Hibs away. I'm really concerned about the way, like with a couple of injuries we've got, that we might drop another 4, 5, 6 points in the next 5 games.
I mean, I don't know. I heard McGregor could be back for Thursday. Hopefully this big Greek guy we've signed, where the fuck's he? Hopefully he can start making an impact. You'd like to think even Forrest can come back. And hopefully we can even try and, I mean, the guy Shaw, it was a fucking point in signing him. No other chance, really. Did you give him a shot in midfield or one of the younger boys? Because something's missing, I know. Motherwell last season, I think we actually done okay there. Aberdeen, we dropped points twice. I think we drew one each and 3 each. And Hibs, they're another one. We've not beaten the league. We've not won in the league at Easter Road for fucking a long, long time. But we really should be winning these games. I mean, I guess it's all good and well seeing you want to give the manager time. If he fucks it up and we end up 8, 9, 10 points behind by October, then I don't know, what do you do then? For me, I don't think I could call for the seed because I think he's been dealt such a fucking woeful horn. As I say, I mean, the board just, you can't sum up the feelings towards these people. Just, and Dermot Desmond, Jesus Christ, please sell up and go, just go away. I think we've got the potential, we've all spoken about it for ages, we've the potential to be such an incredibly competitive European club, but the assholes that run us ensure that we're a bowling club. I don't know. I think the league's there to be won. I don't think we've got the squad for it. But again, we've got a League Cup to win. We should be beating Raith Rovers, then we're in a semi final. That's a big one for Ange. He needs to, if he can win that first trophy as well, but again, you need Kyogo and McGregor back, and I don't know, I feel as though if he just pushed the boat out a wee bit more and even get players in a bit earlier and really properly back the manager, we could be in a much better position.
The manager should have been brought in a lot earlier. He got brought in June, in 6 weeks before the first game, but fucking 5 of the weeks there was an international major tournament going on where it was very, very hard to do any business. It's fucking ridiculous with the horn that the guy's been dealt. But yeah, Tony's right. If Raith Rovers do the unthinkable under the United, obviously the Knights will be out, but at the minute, as much as I think the league's there to be won, I think they'll take more heart for yesterday that they can throw in a wobbler at home and still claim a point.
Aye, well, they've went another point ahead of us. It means they could lose, we could win, and they'll still be clear. So, I guess if you'd offered them at the start of the day, you're going to gain an advantage on Celtic, they would take it, but really should have been 6 points. I don't know. I mean, the manager obviously deserves criticism, but I'm looking at the players and I'm going, they're fucking garbage. A lot of them are poor players or they're half a boil. So, I've missed coming on here. It's a fucking real laugh. I think it's me. I've probably broke my record for ranting and raving, but for me, it's just a case of the board. I mean, I don't know how we're going to get rid of these cunts, but we can't have these people running Celtic Football Club just hopeless. They're never accountable. They don't speak to anybody. They obviously says about, Don McKay, it was his big thing of, we'll get you in for fan media. Who do we get invited to? Or there's a new player signing. Come and ask him his favourite song. Or what do you think of the Celtic support? Or it's fucking come to a women's game or come to the B team. No doubt some people have interest in that, but I've got absolutely no fucking interest when Celtic can't win an away game and what the B team are doing when they're playing. I don't know. I don't know who they play, these fucking junior teams. No interest. The women's team, Fran Alonso, big lover, and with him, I'm not interested. So I think the club, where's Dermot Desmond coming out after?
Thanks to Anthony for coming on the show this week.
But where is Dermot Desmond to come out and say, look, we know this isn't good for the plans of the club. We're completing a kind of process to get... But that's, again, in the last 2 years, two of the most important positions of the club, the manager and the chief exec, and both of them are apparently... Well, Neil Lennon, we know, was a wrong decision, completely inept, should never have been the manager of the club. And Don McKay's been sacked or left after 3 months. So who's... That shows that Dermot Desmond doesn't know how to recruit people that are suited to Celtic. So...
Just wait till he appoints one of his boys as a permanent CEO.
That wouldn't surprise me. The guy's got that much power. But I don't understand it. I mean, I don't... The decisions at Celtic are absolutely mystifying. Even getting back to the Eddie Howe thing, I don't know if I believe them on that. I don't know if they maybe say to Eddie Howe, this is the plans, and they went, oh, fuck off. You know, I mean, look at what Postecoglou's inherited. He gets into the Europa League, somehow be beaten Alkmaar, and now the pressure's on him because he's not got the squad. So, I don't know. I think we're just run by really shoddy people, and it's a shame because you obviously love the club, and you buy in, season tickets, merch, blah, blah, blah. But you just feel as though they just take it for granted. They take your money and they piss it up against the wall usually. So, now for me, the results haven't been good enough. Manager has to take some blame. He'll need to find ways to win with the squad he's got, which is a shame. But the board are just... Aye, there you go. The board are beep, beep, beep.
Aye. Danny, I'll come to you. Tony mentioned it. We're sorely lacking Callum McGregor in the middle of the field, and I think that was mainly evident yesterday when James McCarthy played. And, like, credit, well, no credit to McCarthy. I'm sure he gave his all, but by all accounts, I'm sure he would even admit it was a poor performance. Andy alluded to it earlier on, but the day the Athletic came out with an article claiming, apparently they'd had the information for a few weeks, but they chose the day to be the day that they came out and says how apparently a Celtic Park or a dressing room source, I think was the quote, has told them how McCarthy wasn't Ange's signing and how he's not been impressing in training. I'm not a professional journalist and I'd never claim to be, but I know the Athletic boy that does it. He's on another Celtic podcast and by all accounts a Celtic fan, and I just found it mad the timing that that's come out. And see, if it is true, then we've got a lot more things to worry about than James McCarthy misplacing passes. And it just feels it was just very disheartening to see that. Danny, what was your thoughts on it? When you said, I know it caused a bit of a stir there.
I agree with pretty much what you said. If there's a player or a coach in the dressing room digging up players in the dressing room, then that's a bigger problem than James McCarthy's performance against Livingston. Do I believe it? No, because I don't want to believe there is a player digging out his teammate or whatever. To me, it's kind of tapping part of for me really, where it, you know, nobody's surprised if it came out in the media that Desmond signed McCarthy. Nobody would be surprised. So to me, it's just people putting two and two together. If it's true, then we've got a lot more problems than McCarthy's performances, because the last thing you need is moles in the dressing room, drifts in the dressing room. We need the fucking dressing room to be united behind everybody in the team and behind the manager and behind each other. And that's really disheartening if that's not the case. And if that is true, then what we said, it's not just said that it was designed. They've been saying that he's been struggling in training, he's been struggling to deal with Ange's tactics. Well, at the end of the day, Ange still fucking picked him. So, McCarthy, he's not going to say no to getting picked. So I'd be more concerned if that was true. I'm really concerned that there's somebody in there that's not pulling the same way as everybody else is. And that's more concerning than James McCarthy having a poor game against Livingston.
I completely agree. As I said, I just wanted to bring it up because I know it did cause a bit of a stir. But for me, it was I think the reason McCarthy started was just because of Sorrow's poor performance on Thursday, and then you've got Beaton who came on as well, which I thought was just an absolutely terrible indication of where your squad's at, because I was watching it just Beaton just kept getting his guys like Andrew Shinney and whoever just winning stupid fouls off him, and I genuinely don't think Beaton would get in most SPL teams. I think he's that bad and he's long past being good enough for Celtic, but I don't know. As you say, hopefully it isn't true in terms of there being somebody who's leaking stuff to journalists and digging out people, because as you say, this season, Mel and Ennie, we need to be united and just get behind. It should have been a clean slate and a rebuild, but the first sign of adversity, and it seems that these stories are coming out again. But Andy, I'll come back to you. I don't think we're forgetting much more to add about the Livy game, but we do move on to the League Cup quarterfinal at home to Raith Rovers. It's obviously against lower league opposition, and it's at home, where quite the opposite from away from home, Celtic have been pretty good, if not exceptional, in most games that they've played at home. How much are you looking forward to this, and how important is it for Ange, as Tony said, just getting Ange that chance to take Celtic to Hampden and then hopefully take them to a cup final as well? It's a great opportunity for them.
Aye, like I said earlier, like, we move on, we need to move on. Next game, that's what's the most important thing. Hopefully, I know somebody mentioned it earlier, is Cal McGregor got to be back? I hope so, because I think he's just absolutely fucking vital to everything we do now. As he has been for so long, to be fair. I think I'd be very, very surprised if we don't win that game pretty convincingly, to be honest with you, and I think a lot of people would probably be in the same boat. Low league opposition, and at home we've been absolutely fine. So I think that we should not really to worry about, in my eyes. I think we go into the game, but we've just got to use it as hopefully getting back in track, and that being the starter. Right, what's done is done, the games that are in the past, so we move on, and then again look to hopefully get more players back, not just McGregor, but hopefully the big Greek boys coming in. I know Ange said he could have potentially made the other game at the weekend, obviously, didn't he? So you'd like to think that he'll be thereabouts come the cup game. But it's a chance at silverware. Knockout football is obviously entirely different. Some managers and some teams thrive on it, and hopefully Ange will be no different to previous Celtic managers who've had success in these cup competitions. And again, there'll be an opportunity for boys to make a dent. It's whether Scales gets an opportunity, I don't know. But I think slowly but surely he'll be hopefully getting back to getting as many sort of players fit as possible and getting back to a best 11. And I think we'll win the game, but it's no one I'm worrying about. And like I say, just get in and get out with any injuries and a convincing victory, and I'll be happy done.
Aye, like you say, quarter final, early cup, all that matters is getting the victory. And I'm quite hopeful as well that we will. I think we will see guys like Cal McGregor and Jackie Marcus back. I don't know if that Libby pitch had a major effect on Ange's decision not to play them. Obviously, you have guys like Ralston potentially back as well. Tony, we'll try and end this episode on a bit of a positive. Are you got any worries going into Thursday? Any concerns?
No. I hope I don't. I shouldn't have any. I would like to think maybe winning Thursday against Raith Rovers. I don't know what their form is going into it. To be honest, I think the Championship, I think they might have beat Morton at the weekend, actually, now I think it. We shouldn't be having any difficulty. Hopefully give some of the younger guys a chance, get a comfortable victory, and then move on to Dundee United, which is a huge game. We're likely going to be further behind in the title race by the time that kicks off, I'm sure. So I think we should win maybe 3-0, something like that, and hopefully we can we can kind of kick on and start winning more games.
Aye, definitely. That's hopefully the case. We've just got to start winning again. It's really as simple as that. Danny, you going to continue the positivity and see Celtic having little to no problems on Thursday?
I could probably turn it on back at home on Thursday. We'll probably score a few goals and then everybody will forget about what happened at Livingston for a couple of days at least anyway. I can't see too many problems. Hopefully we get a couple of players back. Rafe had no mugs, but at the same time we've played relatively well at home all season, so you'd like to hope that can continue and we win by a few goals.
Aye, thankfully that's all four of us can predict him that it will be a pretty routine. Obviously, as you say, Rafe will be, they'll see it as their opportunity to go and put a big scalp out and go down in the rain. History is taking their team to Hampden, but I think it's a perfect game for Andrew's team, and I just stable them beginning of Sunday as well. But no, I think we'll win quite comfortably. I think we'll probably win 4-0 would be my prediction. Hopefully Giakoumakis is ready to play some sort of football. It's obviously extremely worrying that we signed this guy and it's now getting towards the end of September and he's no match fit yet, which I don't know. It's just like, I think everybody knew Edward was going to go, so signing his replacement this late and having these issues is completely our own doing as well, in my opinion. But no, sorry, you got something.
I was just going to say about Giakoumakis, let's hope the vaccinated Van Nistelrooy can get a couple of goals on Thursday night.
Hopefully. I'm sure that'll catch on, but no, I think that'll do us. This has been another relatively dour episode considering how we started the season, but no, all we can do is plod on and hopefully Ange will be back to winning ways on Thursday and we'll be cheering him on as we find out who his semi-final opponent is, hopefully. But you can be sure that if we do the unthinkable and go out on Thursday, then we'll be back pronto with an emergency episode, no doubt. But hopefully that's not the case and we'll be back with a celebratory one. Just remember, if you want to catch up with the latest Four Times Our Podcast, you can also go to our YouTube channel, which is, if you go to YouTube and search for Four Times and a Podcast, you'll find it. They're all up there as well. We've got some exciting stuff coming with that, which we will tell you about in the weeks to come. Also, again, a big thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring Four Times Our Podcast. It's greatly appreciated. And thanks to everybody who's been using the code TRIM4TIMS. That's TRIM, the number 4, TIMS, at checkout when they go to manscaped.com. It's been getting them 20% off and free shipping for all the best below-the-waist grooming products in the world. But we have been Four Times on a Podcast, and thank you very much for listening, and we will speak to you after the Raith Rovers game.